Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners, the Teacher Scandal Edition. Thank you guys so much for listening and being the coolest kids on the block. And if you wouldn't mind taking a few minutes to please leave a 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It really helps the show grow. And if you want to tell a friend, hey, that would be amazing too. And as always, tag us in your Instagram stories when you're listening. I love to see your post, and we'll repost them at Seven Deadly Sinners Podcast on Instagram. And feel free to DM and say hi, and keep sending your case suggestions. You guys are a wealth of knowledge, and I love when I get case suggestions from you guys. Okay, now for the very scandalous, headline-making, hard-to-forget case of Mary Kay Letourneau.
Mary Kay Letourneau made world news when she seduced her 12-year-old student, Vili Folau.
A 35-year-old teacher who had sex with a 13-year-old sixth grader sentenced to 18 years.
Mary Kay Letourneau, the last person you would suspect of being a molester of children.
Admit it, we've all had a crush on a teacher or two. And hell, sometimes it even made PE more enjoyable. But what if that crush was less than innocent? And even worse, what if it was mutual? And what if an illicit affair began between teacher and student, in which the student was manipulated into doing things beyond the comprehension of their age? And trigger warnings ahead in this episode, as we will be discussing the sexual assault against a minor, as well as descriptions of terminal disease. So please take care while listening. This is the story of Mary Kay Letourneau and how she developed a long-term relationship with her student, Vili Folau, after being sentenced to prison for raping him when he was her former student and in the sixth grade. But let's back up. So who was Mary Kay Letourneau? She was born Mary Catherine Schmitz in California in 1962. Her mother was a former chemist, and her father was a community college instructor and politician. She attended an all-girls school. She was a cheerleader. Her father had presidential ambitions, running as an independent candidate in 1972, and he served in the California State Senate. Two of her brothers even went on to serve as a former deputy counsel to President George H.W. Bush and a foreign policy advisor to Donald Trump. Her family life appears to have been somewhat normal, until an unfortunate and absolutely horrific accident occurred in which Mary Kay's 3-year-old brother drowned in the pool while she was playing with him in the shallow end, which I can't even imagine how traumatizing that would be. In fact, she was diagnosed in 1998 by a psychiatrist, Dr. Julia Moore, with manic depression. She went on to attend Arizona State University and had intended to move to Washington, D.C. upon graduating to pursue her own political career. It was alleged that while in university, she was sent into a spiral after it was brought to light that her religious GOP congressman father, ironically, had fathered 2 kids out of wedlock with one of his former students in 1982. Her family's squeaky clean image was tarnished, and her parents separated, but later reconciled. She went on to marry her college sweetheart, Steve, after becoming pregnant in college, and because of pressure from her mother. though she would later claim that she wasn't ever in love with Steve, but wanted to appease her parents. To those on the outside, the couple appeared to have a relatively demure, normal life together. And after dropping out of college, they moved to Alaska for a time, before Steve's job required a transfer to Seattle. But as the years went on, their marriage was far from perfect. Financial problems, extramarital affairs. Later, her lawyer and neighbor David alleged that she was emotionally and physically abused during the marriage, which landed her in the hospital for treatment. Police were called, but charges were never filed. Whatever indiscretions the couple were or weren't hiding from each other, Mary Kay was hiding a very dark secret, shockingly similar to her own father's. The 34-year-old mother of four was a highly respected teacher for the Highline School District at Shorewood Elementary, located in a suburb of Seattle, Washington, when she first met Vili in 1991. Side note, all of her children attended the same school. So Vili was her student in her second grade class, which is really creepy. That's when she first met him, when he was in second grade. She saw him as a young boy with an artistic bent that she was happy to help cultivate. And initially, she didn't have inappropriate feelings. According to People magazine, she said that she felt one day he might marry one of her daughters. And the boy also developed a friendship with her oldest son. Mary Kay kept in touch with their former student after he passed her class and would even buy him art supplies and take him to museums, encouraging his love for the arts. She would later tell the Seattle Times that their relationship was, quote, the kind of feeling you have with a brother or a sister, a feeling that they're part of your life forever. Then in 1995, Vili found himself once again in Mary Kay's class, as a sixth grader this time. And Mary Kay found herself in a time of loss. Her marriage was on the rocks. And she had suffered a miscarriage early in January of 1996 that left her very emotionally scarred and on the verge of a total breakdown. After the series of unfortunate events in 1996, this friendship that she felt made her incredibly drawn to Vili, and when he was 12, it is alleged that Vili bet a friend $20 that he would have sex with his sixth grade teacher. The relationship then morphed into something absolutely forbidden. He would spend time at her home doing schoolwork, and Mary Kay found herself having fantasies about the young boy. Eventually, Mary Kay and Vili turned these fantasies into reality, into something so incredibly inappropriate. Friendship turned into flirting, and eventually sex by the time Vili turned 13. And it's worth noting, Vili was only a year and a half older than Mary Kay's eldest child. So on June 19, 1996, police found Mary Kay and Vili in a vehicle at a marina in Des Moines, Washington. Mary Kay claimed that she was babysitting Vili, though lied to the police and stated that he was 18, which doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't think an 18-year-old needs to be babysat, so she's clearly a little guilty here. She also denied that there had been any inappropriate contact and that she was merely driving Vili home after a fight with her husband. Also weird. Why are you kind of roping this kid in with a fight with your husband? All right. The relationship was discovered by Steve, her husband, in February of 1997, when he stumbled upon love letters written to his wife by the young teen Vili. Steve was ultimately granted a divorce and moved with the couple's four children to Alaska. Yeah, I'd move pretty far away too. But Steve wasn't the only person in Mary Kay's life who discovered the truth. Mary Kay confided in her childhood best friend Michelle while pregnant. But Michelle was only told half the story. Michelle later told the New York Post that she said, "I have some news and this is difficult. I'm pregnant and it's not Steve's." What Mary Kay failed to divulge was that the baby's father was her former student. She instead told her friend that the father was a student she had met during a summer school class, leading Michelle to think that he was a college-aged man. Mary Kay's really not a good liar. Or she's only comfortable like springing in like half-truths because she doesn't want to fully lie. Maybe it's her religious background. I don't know. But, I mean, I'm not a good liar myself. Actually terrible at it. But I would be like, yeah, it's actually one of Steve's coworkers, or it's some guy I met at volleyball class or something. I don't know. I don't know. But Mary Kay denied planning the first pregnancy, but said that she wasn't angry when she learned she was pregnant. So she wasn't upset about it. Granted, it wasn't Steve's. That was going to make things messy. But Steve was up in Alaska doing God knows what. So she wasn't upset about the fact that she was pregnant. Meanwhile, Michelle and Steve learned this tidbit of information along with the rest of the world when they read it in the papers. It was a tabloid feeding frenzy, garnering nationwide coverage. And I was probably in, let's see, grade school? Yeah, grade school or maybe early junior high at the time, and I remember this story very clearly.
Save big money on all your electrical needs at Menards. From wire, tools, testers, and more, Southwire is the perfect choice for your next electrical project. They offer innovative products to help you get your project done right. Hurry in today and save big on all Southwire products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Stay safe on the roads with Rain-X Vision Beam Wiper Blades, now at Menards. For over 40 years, Rain-X has provided drivers with products to outsmart the elements. Their Vision Beam Wiper Blades are easy to install and are designed to provide a smooth, streak-free wipe every time. Save big money on all Rain-X products now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
But the coverage seemed skewed, especially now in light of the Me Too movement. A person in a position of power taking advantage of someone, especially a child. Now, this isn't two adults. This isn't like a, you know, which doesn't make the Me Too movement any less important, but this isn't like a 23-year-old actress and, you know, Harvey Weinstein, which disgusting, and those women deserve justice and all the sympathy. This was a mid-30s woman and a child. I find this quote from a Rolling Stone article pretty poignant. Since the 1990s, when Letourneau and Falau became tabloid fixtures, we have consistently seen coverage of female sexual predators undermine the severity of their crimes, focusing instead on the question of why an attractive older woman would exhibit sexual interest in an underage boy, and the perceived luck of the underage boy being subject to such an initiation. The article went on to describe the coverage of this particular scandal as narrative that a pretty delicate-featured upper-middle-class white woman had fallen madly and hopelessly in love with the wrong person at the wrong time. Oh, so unlucky. He's a child, ma'am, instead of focusing on the rape of an underage child. Here's a clip of Dr. Oz questioning Veeley about the public perception of their relationship in an interview from 2020.
So a lot has been said about Mary Letourneau over the years. Some who have argued that she preyed on you. You were still young, 12 years old when you met, sixth grade. How do you respond to people who say that?
Well, it's easy for someone to say those things about her, because they don't know who she is, and all they know is just what the media tells them, or from police reports that, you know, this was, you know, they're looking at the highlights of it, that she was an adult, I was a minor. And, you know, there's just like, you know, you would watch these documentaries on, you know, Netflix or whatever, and they talk about like pedophiles or, you know, people who rape and whatnot. And the entire time that I've ever known her in my entire life is, there was, you know, I used to question it too. You know, I used to question it myself. Is she? There was absolutely no ill, like, there was no perversion, you know, and there was no history of her having any odd things with other minors, you know. So, yeah, I just felt like, you know, there's nothing I can say to people that don't care to listen or don't care to learn. But that is my wife, and she is my best friend, and we had our kids together, and we did get married. And we had a whole life together.
Mary Kay was arrested the following year, in 1997, while pregnant, after a relative of Steve's called the school officials. A few months later, she gave birth to a daughter, Audrey. 3 months after the birth, she pleaded guilty in court. Her lawyer worked out a deal for his client, though. She would plead guilty to child rape and take her prescribed bipolar medication for at least 6 months, serve 3 months in jail, and then be released on probation. Mary Kay spoke in a televised court hearing and said this to Judge Linda Liu through her tears. "Your Honor, I did something that I had no right to do, morally or legally. I was wrong, and I am sorry. I give you my word that this will not happen again. Please help me. Help us all." Why are you bringing all of us into it? Veeley's mother even spoke on Mary Kay's behalf, telling reporters after the sentencing that, "I feel Mary has been punished enough for her mistake." The new mother was sentenced to 7.5 years, with all but 6 months suspended. After serving 80 days, she was granted on release on a condition that she'd enter a treatment program for sex offenders. She was also ordered to give up custody of Audrey to Veeley's mother and ordered to stay away from the young boy. But did Mary Kay listen? No. And prosecutors had even argued that Mary Kay couldn't be trusted. Within days of her release, in January of 1998, she had stopped taking her medication to treat her bipolar disorder and was rebelling against seeing her sexual deviancy counselor. On February 3rd, 1998, just mere weeks after being released from prison, Mary Kay was caught having sex with Veeley in her gray Volkswagen sedan. Officers on a routine neighborhood patrol witnessed the fogged up windows and saw two people who appeared to be having sex. They likely assumed it was two adults, but to their shock, when they approached the vehicle, Mary Kay jumped into the front seat while Veeley pretended to sleep in the back. I know I fog up windows when I sleep. I mean, I do breathe hard, but That's typical of people, you know. You're really doing a lot of movement, a lot of breathing. But when the cops spoke to them, the pair provided false names, and Mary Kay claimed Veeley was a family friend who had gotten into an argument with her husband and she was just trying to find him. Stop involving your husband. This is making it seem weirder. They also lied to police about Veeley's age. He was a freshman in high school at the time. Oh, and it's worth mentioning that passports, $6,200 in cash, and $850 in baby clothes and receipts were found in the car, signaling to authorities that they may have been trying to flee the area with their young daughter. But yeah, their lies to the cops didn't work, obviously. And ultimately, Mary Kay was arrested again after a relative of her former husband called the police. Because this incident was in violation of her parole, Mary Kay returned to the courtroom and stood once again in the presence of Judge Liu, who was less than pleased and actually pretty pissed. The judge told Mary Kay in the court that this case is not about a flawed system. It is about an opportunity that you foolishly squandered. The judge then sentenced Mary Kay to carry out the remainder of her initial 7.5 prison sentence, the maximum for child rape, which doesn't seem like enough to me, but I'm just a podcaster. Prison officials soon realized that Mary Kay was pregnant again, and she gave birth to Vili's second child, another daughter they named Georgia. The baby was placed with her sister in the care of Vili's mother, and the following year, Mary Kay was placed in solitary confinement for 6 months because letters she tried to send to Vili were discovered by prison staff. She is like, can't stop, won't stop, on a mission. I mean, if this wasn't a creepy love story, it would be a love story, but it's a very creepy one. In a later interview with Barbara Walters, Mary Kay answered the question we are all asking. Here's a clip.
Well, what we most like about this part of our life right now is that it's nobody's business.
Mary, was it worth it?
I don't look at life that way. I do my best. So if you asked me that question, did you do your best through every situation? I can say I did my best. I did. I did do my best.
10 years later, I asked her the same question. I want to ask you what I asked you 10 years ago. Was it worth it?
Where I am in my life.
Can I cut you off?
Can why
you
not?
Ask, can you ask you exactly
do.
How you asked it? And you just reply, yes.
While incarcerated at the Washington Correction Center for Women, Mary Kay expressed interest in advocating for the rights of mothers in prison. She was very active in organizing events for mothers and daughters during their visitation days. Later, Vili and his mother sued Highline School District and the city of Des Moines, Washington for more than $2 million because school officials and police didn't do enough to protect him. In May of 2002, a jury ruled that they were not entitled to any money. What's interesting about this story is Vili seems to flip-flop a lot, which I guess shouldn't be surprising because he was a child and could not make this huge decision to have sex with a woman twice his age, have children, as a, you know, they start having sex when he was 13. So it's understandable why he flip-flops. It's got to be confusing. Upon release from prison in 2004, Mary Kay went on to work at a local sports bar and found work as a paralegal. Also upon release, the ban prohibiting contact with Vili was lifted, as he was an adult at this point. Vili told People magazine that he wanted to reunite with her and take things slowly. He was unemployed at the time, and his mother was tasked at raising his two children. He also told Seattle's King TV at the time that, I don't know what my feelings are right now, but I know that I do love her. And at least initially upon release, regarding trying to contact with the father of her young children, Mary Kay told Seattle's Como TV that, I'm not allowing myself to think about being with him. We had a beautiful relationship. Sorry. Wow. So there's some narcissistic things happening here. Again, you're not acknowledging it was with a child, but okay. We had a beautiful relationship, and I value it for what it was. She certainly seemed to have different intentions than Vili, though, who was continuing to profess his love for her in interviews. Mary Kay went on to tell Como News that she wanted to focus on being a mother and reconnecting with her family, including her own mother. But she was also contradicting herself a lot. She told the news station, "I'm not allowing myself to think about being with him. Like she said, we had a beautiful relationship, and I value it for what it was." Then she went a step further to say that she would have another baby with him. When asked if she regretted her actions, she responded, "Knowing what we had, I should have waited," insisting that the relationship was always consensual.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
One thing Mary Kay continued to hold fast to was her claim that she didn't realize she'd done anything wrong, and she claimed to be baffled by similar cases that came after hers. And here's a clip from Good Morning America.
Latorno maintains she never knew she was doing anything illegal when she started the affair, claiming it was consensual, even though the age of consent was, and still is, 16. And she says stories of other teachers who have since been convicted for relationships with underage students baffle her.
It's just that any teacher after what happened to me would go there. At least I can say that I did not know that it was a law. And you knew. After my case, you knew.
Mary Kay's former best friend, Michelle, claimed later in an interview that love had nothing to do with it. She hijacked his life, and I do believe she was incredibly manipulative. She told the Daily Mail that she believed Mary Kay was so disconnected from reality that she sought to create the perfect relationship with her former student. Another friend of Mary Kay's had a completely different take on the couple, telling People magazine that, "I would imagine they will get married as soon as she gets out of prison. The two of them want to be together. They're drawn together like magnets." Okay, friend. Can I talk to you outside for a second? And that friend was absolutely right, though, so she was good. I would bet on her for being right. The two did find their way back to each other and got married in 2005 at a winery in Woodinville, Washington, with tight security and 200 guests in attendance. Can you imagine being a guest at that wedding? And how they got 200 people to support this. Regardless, the couple's two daughters were flower girls, and Mary Kay's daughter from her first marriage was maid of honor because her daughter's old enough at this point, because she's twice Philly's age. Entertainment Tonight even filmed the nuptials. And we'll try our darndest to find some of that footage and post it to our Instagram, 7 Deadly Sinners Podcast. But at this point, Vili was at least 22 at the time. To say the nation was shocked at this turn of events would be an understatement. Also in a state of shock was former best friend Michelle, who said in the ID documentary, Notes on Scandal, that, "I couldn't imagine she'd do what she did. Not in a million lifetimes." And the tabloids were eating the story up, focusing on the fairy tale ending rather than the crimes committed. A producer of a documentary later filmed for A&E entitled Mary Kay Letourneau, Autobiography. Brad Abramson told Fox News that, "I think the media wanted to see her as a very one-dimensional character in this story. The older female teacher, the rapist. And by definition, yes, she is that. But I think she found her soulmate, at least that's what she says. And I think she was upset that part of the story was never told. It was always the headline, Mary Kay Letourneau sleeps with her former student. When in her mind, this was a long emotional love affair that lasted for 20 plus years now." Mary Kay also revealed in the documentary that she didn't think the forbidden relationship could lead to an arrest. For his part, Feely has maintained that he did not consider Mary Kay or the relationship as abusive. The producer also said that he hoped the documentary would show her in a different light. She's still in touch with her four children, he said, from her first marriage, and they are a part of her life now. It's pretty unimaginable that 20 years later, you have her and her kids and Vili and her older kids all together as one extended family. It's pretty remarkable what she has done, end quote. A year after their nuptials, the couple were interviewed by People magazine and described their relationship as normal, often finding themselves out to dinner at their favorite Mexican restaurant before going to Blockbuster and renting a movie. Mary Kay also hoped to teach again, if she could get off the sex offender registry, that is. The couple went on to write a book together, Only One Crime, Love, and were the subject of a USA Network movie called All American Girl, as well as numerous documentaries. In 2009, the couple made a rare public appearance at a Seattle sports bar for Hot Teacher Night. Sorry. Greg, can you please cue Hot for Teacher?
I actually named this episode Hot for Teacher.
That's really funny. Please cue that song if we're allowed to do it. And it gets better, guys. It said Hot for Teacher Night. Vili DJ'd and she MC'd. I'm so uncomfortable. I feel like we're just a few seconds away from a wet t-shirt concert and I need to exit the room. But anyways, their marriage managed to stay intact for nearly 12 years until the relationship ended in May of 2017 when Vili filed a petition for legal separation. Mary Kay filed to have the petition dismissed and there was a brief reconciliation before their divorce was finalized in August of 2019. That is not that long ago. And the couple remained close afterwards. Sadly, though, Mary Kay was diagnosed with cancer in early 2020 that spread through her body. Vili later told Dr. Oz that she texted him telling him she was feeling sick. And then after getting a colonoscopy, she found out that cancer had spread to her liver. He said, "I was in disbelief. I didn't want to believe it. And so I got on the plane right away and I went out there."
Did she realize how big a deal this was when she was diagnosed?
She believed that a miracle was going to happen and that somehow she was going to be healed and, you know, it was going to go away.
Was Mary a difficult patient?
In terms of believing a miracle is going to happen without taking any serious aggressive action, that part made it difficult in those terms. But in the terms of it being, you know, my wife and someone who's played a major role in my life, you know, it's that was the most difficult part because, you know, when we had first met, you know, I was a lot younger. And she was, you know, she was ripped out of my life at that time. And so, you know, this time it's, you know, there's not going to be another letter and there's not going to be a phone call or a text. So I think preparing myself mentally for that was the hardest part, and still to this day, everything feels really unreal right now.
Vili moved back from California and stood by her side until the end. When he first saw her after the diagnosis, she appeared healthy. But within 6 months, her health deteriorated rapidly. But she still believed her life would be spared. But a fall that led to a broken arm showed otherwise. A trip to the ER and a CT scan showed that the cancer had spread to her spine and brain. Doctors said there wasn't much, if anything, they could do at this point. She didn't want to talk about her death or make preparations for what would happen to her family after she was gone, but after the realizations from the trip to the emergency room, the inevitable became clear to her. In her last conversation with Vili, she revealed that he was the most important person to her and that everything was going to be okay. She died of stage 4 colon cancer at 58 years old on July 6, 2020, in her Des Moines, Washington home, surrounded by her children and Vili.
The last day, sorry, I'm not trying to.
It's okay.
Yeah. The last day, I think that the last day was sort of a sense of relief that she wasn't in pain anymore. But also really devastating. Because the reality is, you know, you're not gonna see the person that, you know, has been there for you the most.
A longtime friend of Mary Kay, attorney Ann Bremmer, told the New York Times that as she neared death, she hoped that people would see her as someone who had served her time and gone on to raise 2 daughters with Vili, and to have a positive impact on the people around her, adding that she was always a really good person. She was always a really good friend. Both of her ex-husbands released a joint statement after her passing. "We are deeply saddened to share the very difficult news that our beloved Mary passed away peacefully on July 6, 2020, after a 6-month battle since being diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Mary fought tirelessly against this terrible disease. It is in the spirit that we ask for privacy and respect for our desire to focus on the road ahead for all of us who make up Mary's collective family. We ask that our boundaries and need for privacy be honored with continued kindness and understanding." I kind of think it's beautiful that they, I don't know, came together as like this weird hodgepodge family. This is a very confusing case. Really hard to kind of know where you stand on it. Like, I definitely don't agree with the child sexual assault part, but the way that they all made the best of it is kind of weirdly beautiful. I don't know how to feel, but regardless of your thoughts on this case, the love between these two was pretty much palpable in the interviews I've seen of the couple, especially in the interview with Dr. Oz after her death. So I hope you guys enjoyed the story. It's a wild world out there, and I'll see you next week. I love you. Thank you. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star review and positive rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. And this will come out before Thanksgiving, I guess. Yes, for Wondery Plus listeners. So happy Thanksgiving. And then it will come out afterwards for the rest of you. All right. Happy Thanksgiving. Love you. Bye.
True Crime Podcast fans, it's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really gotta check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes, too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.